getting started in real estate. It's just be a sponge, be around the office, be around the top producing people, ask a ton of questions. There's no such thing as a dumb question. You need to show your personality because nobody else is doing it in the real estate world. Get hungry, get after it.
Welcome to the MediaCorp Minute Podcast. My name is Josh Langmaid. I own a video agency here in Rochester. I'm joined today by Drew Fleming. Drew is a entrepreneur and business owner, started and now owns North House Real Estate. And you are also a partner in R. Fleming Construction. And yeah, it's great to have you on today.
Thank you for having me on. This is very exciting.
Absolutely. It's been a while.
We were just talking about that. Yes, yeah. It has been a while.
A lot of things are going on, though.
Yeah.
A lot of things are finishing up.
A lot of things finishing up.
Yep. On that last stretch there.
Yeah, I think getting married, selling a house, and building a house and moving into that is a lot to do in a calendar year. But why not do it all in 6-week span?
Did you learn a lot through the process?
Yeah, I learned a lot through the marriage process of what you
want. Well, and you're still married after all of that, so that's good.
Month and a half into that. You learn a lot through the marriage process, but I mean, also the selling your house and building a house is quite an experience too. I mean, I get to tell people how easy it is and how fun it is every day.
You have to do it yourself.
And then you have to do it yourself and you realize what the pain points are.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, it's good. I mean, that helps you put yourself in their shoes then.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think the key component of any business is figuring out the pain points, kind of recreating and evolving from there. So,
yeah.
I got to represent myself and the people that bought my house, which was kind of interesting. Weren't any pain points.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah. Weren't any pain points in regards to that, but it's just, packing up a house, especially in December and getting moved out. And
beautiful Minnesota when it's -20.
That was the best part too, is like the first true snowfall we had was that Saturday. So
we got hit pretty good then.
The moving company was supposed to be there at 8:15 a.m. and they called me like, we're on our way. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to go out, start a snowblower, get it going. Snowblower won't start. So call my buddy down the street. He comes walking his snowblower up the street to do my driveway. Neighbor, he's like, yeah, you can use mine too. So we got it all done. But then it's like, even when they delivered the furniture was when we had another snowfall. So I guess if anyone wants to know, just tell me to move.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, because we've known each other for a few New Years now. But like, what was that first time that we met? And I think I had reached out and you were in your old office. I think I sat down with you and your sister to talk about like a neighborhood video for R. Fleming or something like that.
I was trying to put a finger on it too, and I was trying to remember like which property was the first video we did, or if we did the 100 Acre Woods neighborhood first.
We might have done a property first, but I feel like that was pretty early on when we just did like the kind of drone video, what properties were still open. And
I was thinking about that this morning. Literally, I was trying to remember like the first time
this has been a while.
We met, because I remember it was one of the model homes when I met your brother first, but I met you previous.
Yep.
And I couldn't remember the first time that you and I had met.
I think I was just sitting down with you too and didn't know a ton then.
But your business has quite evolved since then, yes. It's funny too, is like looking at like the first videos that we did for property videos, very similar to kind of, what a lot of people see as far as just like great, we're gonna do a walkthrough video showing the properties. And now it's like anytime we talk about doing content, it's like, what can we do that's gonna be so different?
How crazy can we get that video?
Yeah. And that's what I like. I think, and you were the first person to tell me this, is you got to show your personality in these videos because, A, no one's going to watch after the first 15 seconds unless it's a really killer property. It's just like you need to show your personality because nobody else is doing it in kind of the real estate world as far as agents. Yeah.
I still tell like agents, when they're asking about a property, I'm like, yeah, you can, but like, what are they really buying? Are they buying into you? Are they, do you need this first of all? If you're going to spend the money, is there other ways to spend it that are better? Things like that. And we just, I think that's what really helped us grow, was looking at what we're doing differently and just changing. Hey, you tell us what to do, we go do it. We try to be, you know, whatever on price, but it just changed to like, hey, I understand what you're doing. And like, let's think about your customers and clients and whatever. What do they want to see?
Right.
But the
other piece of that too is, you know, like we said, just doing something different, but mm-hmm. you know, the shelf life on a video, you know, for a property, it's like, all right, as soon as that thing's sold, like, yep. all right, now is it, you know, gone. As far as like, what are you gonna do for marketing? You're just gonna throw it away because you already, the house already sold. But like some of those videos that we've done that we had like a lot of fun with.
Right.
I'll still go back, not because I'm just like an egotistical nightmare, yeah. but it's just fun to kind of go back and watch some of the videos. But some guy, because I ran an ad on one of those larger properties that we did, you know, when you had me get a bathtub and we were opening beer bottles or whatever else. Some guy commented on my Facebook ad and he's like, this guy seems just like my neighbor, like just kind of like a normal dude.
I love that.
And as soon as I saw that, it's like, you know, the love button had just came on Facebook. So of mm-hmm. course I loved it. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that's what we were trying to bang home. It's just
that's
like,
fantastic.
Yeah. We're not going to be uptight and be, you know, this profession, and we are professional, but like
right.
be this, you know, you can call it a shadow or a shell of what we are. We're just going to be this smile with a tie type person. Like, let's show our personality. Let's have some fun with it. And that guy got it. Mm-hmm. So that was cool.
That's fantastic. I didn't hear that story.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It was like my favorite comment I've ever, comment I've ever received on like a professional post. Mm-hmm. So.
No, that's legit. So yeah, we got a good amount of stuff to get into today. But I wanted to start obviously with just some of your history. Before we get into the companies and what you're doing now, did you go to college?
I did go to college.
Where was that at?
Somebody actually, that was helping me move, actually broke my diploma. I'm not kidding.
Oh, jeez.
Which was kind of funny, too, because I was like, that was actually proof that I graduated college, because my mom still probably doesn't believe that. Mm-hmm. I went to the University of Minnesota Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
Up in the colder parts of Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
I studied political science. Which,
interesting.
Yeah. All that really teaches you is just how to argue, your opinion, but, no,
while looking good.
Yeah, no, it's, political science is fun. You know, I used to really be,
what was the end goal at that point? Like
to graduate?
Yeah. Go into what though?
I had no idea. You know, I had buddies that got into like, helping out with like campaigns and doing some of that. And, I think he's a second cousin. He's a state senator. His mom is the assistant to the Senate president, or she used to be. Mm. So I kind of like thought that'd be kind of a cool idea.
Yep.
I mean, the government's never going to go broke. So, yeah, right. You know, why not? Those checks are not going to bounce. So, I mean, that was kind of what I was thinking there. But as soon as I graduated college, I interned on a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even tell you who the candidate was or what we were trying to accomplish. But, like, the first week, they're like, you're going to sit down, you're going to call these 200 people. Oh, they don't want you to call them.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, so it was short-lived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this person? Yeah, I don't really care.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
But somehow you got to be passionate about it, and you've never met that person either.
Mm-hmm.
So...
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So you got into that. What did you end up doing as kind of like your first job, a real job, I guess, or you know, out of college?
First real job I got out of college. I sold advertising for Yellow Book for I think it was like 11 months. Very very tough industry. Their training program was outstanding. Mm. But I mean that's a grind. I mean you're literally going door to door. With essentially an outdated marketing platform. Like, hey, you know, when's the last time you ever used a Yellow Book directory, Yellow Page directory? And you were telling people that they needed to be front page on this, and it was a big deal. You know, got my teeth kicked in for a year doing that and said, this is not going to be my career path.
You probably learned a lot, though.
Oh, you learn a ton.
Just communications with people that aren't excited to see you.
We want communication with people that aren't excited to see you. You know, you're dialing in a sales pitch. You're understanding, you know, there are tidbits in there that it does make sense. Like a roofing contractor, if this ad's going to cost him $500 for the year, if he gets one job from that, you know, your ROI is insane. Mm-hmm. You know, an attorney, it's the ROI is insane. So it's learning how to make that pitch where it's like, you know, certain, you know, you could say MediaCorp, for instance, they shouldn't be in the yellow page directory. It makes no sense. You know, especially nowadays, a lot of people are going to use the internet, but you learn how to kind of manipulate your pitch to make sense. Like, okay, if I can show this guy that this $2,000 investment is going to bring him a 700% ROI.
Yep.
Yeah. You'll jump on that all day. So that was good training and that was a lot of fun. But then after that, I segued into the wine and spirits industry, which I still love.
And I know you enjoy your wine.
Yeah. I actually did not know how to open a wine bottle when I got into the wine business. I won't say wine and spirits because I strictly sold wine.
Yeah.
But yeah, did not know how to open up a wine bottle. And
you're just talking about like the cork, right?
Yeah. Literally did not know how to open up a cork.
Right on.
So thank God they had those screw tops. But no, I...
Drew's going around shopping. I got to make sure this has a screw lid on the top.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a date tonight and not be able to open this bottle. Deal closed. But no.
How long were you you doing that?
I was in the wine industry for, I think it was 6 years. You know, you were asking me how old.
It's a good amount of time. 6 years.
Yeah, and I started down in Rochester, and my now wife at the time was my girlfriend. We moved up to the cities. We're living in downtown Minneapolis. I went up there, was working for the same company, selling wine. She was working at the University of Minnesota, which is a different world, calling on larger accounts and, you know, selling a lot more wine. But it was fun. It was a blast.
And you got to drink wine.
Got to drink wine. They paid for us to, you know, study for stuff. You'll hear like the Courts of Sommelier. You know, I got my level one through the Courts of Sommelier.
Which I think is sick that you have that.
It's.
But I don't know why. It's just like cool that you have that.
it's so cool. But like, I think that wine is so much like politics too. Is you're just arguing your opinion. You know, it's like the people that can blind taste something and say like it's from this region, it's this year, and it's like a top producer. Like that's really really cool. But for the most part, not many people, like the greater percentage of America, are wine drinkers. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, it's just, hey, you know. At the end of the day, hey, do you like this wine? Great.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea, like, the differences. Whatever you've told me to, you know, and I'll stop in a store and I'll literally call you.
Call me?
I've done it, like, three times. I'm like, Drew, I'm in Total Wine. What am I doing? What should I pick up? And it's been fun. You know, just since we've talked about that, I've definitely drank more wine than I ever have before. But, yeah, it's good.
But yeah, it's wine's a passion. You know, you got everyone's got their poison, I should say, for people that actually consume adult beverages. But like for me, I just always enjoyed wine.
So what did you learn in the wine industry that you think you took over to just what you do now?
The big thing for me in the wine industry was just becoming like obsessively knowledgeable about everything. So with wine, you know, being grown all throughout the world, you know, what region grows certain grapes? Like, why is this important? Why should a store carry these wines? You know, you get into sales pitch too of being like, all right, this price point, you know, you buy XYZ cases, you get this price break. Like, that's cool, but you know, anybody can do that. I think it's the truly being so obsessively knowledgeable about wine, winemakers, wine regions. Where you can hand sell to people. Like, you know, you said, you're like, you call me or snap me and ask like what to get. But like, you know, we would sit in these stores on holidays and like people would come through and you're trying to sell them like, you know, $200 bottles of Cabernet. Well, like, why should they pick that over something else? Like, if you can just hammer all these little tidbits and knowledge to people, people enjoy that because, you know, wine's an experience.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people, it's just like, hey, I like to drink red wine like me, but it's an experience. There's a story to it. So,
and it probably, I mean, it also shows just like, even as an employee, that it wasn't just a paycheck. It wasn't just a job, you know, it was like fully immersed. Yeah, I'm going to take this on and be the best at it in, you know, in what I'm doing.
I wanted to, yeah, I mean, how the wine world segue into real estate is kind of interesting too, but I wanted to, like, you know, run that company. Like, And they're that was never going to happen. They're the biggest distributor in the U.S. You know, there's people that were in the industry for 30 years. Like, you're not just going to, you know, take some 24-year-old that thinks he knows a lot about wine and like, yeah, he should be able to run the accounting side and understand what's a good purchase and who we should hire and fire. But no, I really enjoyed that industry and thought that was going to be something I stayed in forever. But
so how did it end?
I told them, I said, if I'm not promoted by the end of this year, I'm leaving.
If I don't own this, no.
No, yeah. If I don't have a percentage of ownership in this company. I honestly told them that by the end of the year, if I'm not promoted to like a manager or key account manager, like I'm out. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen.
So you gave them a year to kind of...
Oh, it was like 4 months.
Okay, yeah.
Because I... Not to pump my tires, but it's like I was their number one sales rep. Mm-hmm. You know, I had all the big accounts in the Twin Cities. So it seemed like kind of a natural progression. And when that didn't happen at the end of the year, the sales manager, who, you know, was a friend of mine, like, you know, quite a bit older than I am, but like we talked all the time, we'd have drinks, go out to eat, whatever. He knew that my timeline was the end of the year, and he came up to me. He's like, I know you were talking about leaving, you know, give me a few months. And I trusted that guy. I was like, all right, cool. So we set a date. It was like the end of June. I gave him 6 months, and literally, the end of June comes up and I literally walk in his office. I go, it's my 2 week notice.
Really?
Yeah. And he just kind of smiled, and you know, you hear people telling stories all the time about like, if I don't get this, I'm just going to leave. And, you know, I look back at working in the wine industry. They should have fired me many a times. Mm. Nobody should be telling anybody, like, hey, I'm so awesome. Right. Promote me. But it was good. And then as soon as I handed my 2 week notice, I started taking my real estate classes. So
interesting. And there is a difference, I guess, from going like giving them an ultimatum and then going, hey, I am producing a lot here. Like, can we talk about a promotion, you know, because I did that at my previous company too. I was like, I was busting my ass, and I was outperforming what I thought was most people, and it was just like, can I move up? Can we, you know? So like, and I did, and I moved up, you know, quite a few times, and more than they actually typically do. There's only like you only get like one raise a year at the company, and great company, but like I got, I think, three, you know, most years, and it was just like, this is good, but it kept me motivated. Like I was growing, you know, hustling, whatever. And, but it did get to a point where it's like, okay, now I can't move anywhere. Now I feel stuck. I'm too young. I gotta be doing something.
Climbing the totem pole. And that's what it is too. And I mean, working for that company, you know, like they would give you kind of that corporate pat on the back all the time. You know, it was a commission position, so it wasn't necessarily like pay raises, but they'd tell you like, hey, you know, like keep it up. We see what you're doing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the next opening, you're gonna get promoted. And I understand you can't have, you know, 25 managers and 5 salespeople.
Right.
You know, there's someone that has to kind of leave in front of you in order for you to have that position. But I was impatient, apparently.
So you got the license, and wine to real estate. What was the thought process there?
So my family, my dad has had R. Fleming Construction, the home building company, since 1988.
Did he start it?
Yeah, Bob started it. R. Fleming stands for, obviously, Robert Fleming. Yep. How they came up with that name is funny too, and. It's interesting. It's like my brother, his middle name is with an R. Mm. My middle name is with an R. Yep. So those kind of, you know, work to continue through like the R. Fleming transition or name notoriety. But yeah, it was one of those things where it was kind of like, I never wanted to get into real estate or get into like the home building thing because like, you know, you grow up in Rochester and everyone just kind of assumes like, hey, you're going to come into this.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah, you know, like this is just a free handout or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
you'll just take over the company. Or
yeah. And the idea, like, you know, people think it's handed to you. I never wanted that. Mm-hmm. I'd rather make things harder on myself, or at least think I'm making things harder on myself.
Yep.
So that was kind of why I didn't want to get into real estate. But when I did decide to make the plunge, you know, I'd been talking to my dad, and he was kind of telling me, how things were going in Rochester. You know, at the time they just purchased a development in Southeast Rochester that they were kind of working through. And he was talking about buying more land in Northeast. And he's like, you know, we're planning to grow this thing. It'd be a great opportunity for you. You know, I think you'd be okay at it. Mm-hmm. And I was,
you'd be okay.
Yeah, I'd be okay at it. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I was talking to my now wife, and then she's like, you know, if you think it's a good idea, like, I don't necessarily, you know, want to leave Minneapolis, mm-hmm. but you know, if you think it's a good idea, we'll do it. And then we just kind of jumped in head first.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how did that look? I mean, dad's operating our farm and construction. You're in real estate now. What did that look like for you? Like, were you, I don't even know, like, were you, what brokerage were you like technically under?
Right when I got started, it was Edina Realty.
Okay.
I mean, that's the interesting thing about like real estate is,
because you, I mean, for me and just anybody listening, if you get your real estate license, you have to have it always under some
brokerage. Yep, you got to have it underneath a brokerage. And you know, the brokerages are going to be, you know, Edina Realty, Remax, Counselor Keller Williams, Caldwell Banker, North House, which is the company that we started a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Just means that you have to have a primary broker, somebody that kind of takes all the responsibility for the people, the realtors underneath them. Yeah.
So started with Edina. How long was that then?
Edina would have been, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years, something like that.
So you weren't with them all the way until North House then?
No. We were with Edina for a while, great company. Mm-hmm. Went to Better Homes and Gardens, which is a national company. We brought for Minnesota, they're based out of like Chanhassen. Mm-hmm. So we had them come down here to Rochester. We actually had the office space, so it was kind of more so like, we just cleared our deals through them.
Yep.
And you know, they kind of left us alone, which is nice, but
that is, yeah.
Great company. I like Better Homes Garden too. Went on one of their retreats down to Aspen, Colorado.
Nice.
A little place called Aspen.
Aspen.
But
are you skiing down there or what?
I've never skied in my life.
Did you try it?
No, I think maybe I should go to somewhere around here. I did go snowboarding in Duluth when I was in college. Mm. But no, it's like, you know, all these big brokerages, they have these national powwows that you can come to and kind of get amped up.
They'll bring, hyped up.
Yeah, some cool motivational speakers or business coaches in. And yeah, we were with BHG, Better Homes Gardens, and then we started North House a year and a half ago.
So, thought process wise, did you always want to kind of, you know, have your own brokerage? Did that just come about just through the years of doing real estate? Like, how did it come to fruition?
You know, the idea of creating North House and starting an independent brokerage or real estate brokerage altogether was just kind of like controlling the message, controlling the marketing. Real estate's a very, very, very old dog, and it's slow to learn tricks, and they don't adjust how they market. They don't adjust, many of the things that they do. I mean, there's so much technology these days, and if you're with a huge national, they're a little bit slower to adapt to some of the technologies. Right. So if you're,
Everything takes longer when you're bigger.
100%. Otherwise, yeah. you have to go out and do it on your own. So, you know, if you're, start your own brokerage, you can control things and pivot pretty quickly. So, you know, when you're talking CRMs or websites or, you know, whatever an agent may need, being able to just like, you know, call one of those companies and be like, hey, you know, can I get a demo tomorrow? I want to see how this works and how it can apply to our business. I think that's really, really cool. Instead of just waiting for
approval. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could be a licensed agent and you are really interested in, you know, some form of marketing and you hope your company creates it, but how can you ever get that message through?
Yeah.
So it's difficult. It's nice to be able to have that mobility. You know, if we want something, let's just go do it. Mm-hmm. And marketing, the way that we want.
Right.
So
how do you think, now that you've been operating North House for, what'd you say, a year and a half now?
Yeah.
What do you think like sets you guys apart then, just in the industry? Because you're still, you know, buying and selling homes and stuff like that. But, you know, agents kind of come and go between brokerages. You know, if I'm a home buyer or home seller, do you think it's much about the brokerage or the person?
I think it's a lot more about the person. And we've said that forever, you know, like myself and a few other guys in the office. It's just like, you know, the brokerage is not going to sell your house. You know, you put whatever name of the brokerage sign is in front of the house, they're not going to call that brokerage. You know, they do, but it's like, that's not the reason the house sells. It's the person. You know, it's, you know, obviously market conditions, all that other stuff. But, you know, the listing agent that you work with should be somebody you trust, somebody you know is knowledgeable, is well respected in the community, gets along well with other agents, you know, does their homework. Mm-hmm. So it is 100% on the agent, not the brokerage. But the nice part too is like North House, what separates us from other brokerages, you know, when we established the company, it was supposed to be like a housing solution company. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have the buy sell, we can help people buy homes, we can help them, you know, list and sell their homes. Renovation was an important piece too, with us being interlinked with R. Fleming Construction. Say we go show somebody a house that's 200K and their budget's 300K. You know, R. Fleming Construction can purchase the house. We can do, excuse me, all the renovations and then sell them the house for that $300,000. Right. Instead of somebody having to, okay, I'm going to buy the house for 200 grand.
And I'm going to have to figure out my own
financing, you know? So it's like, am I going to get a home improvement loan, or am I going to, you know, just kind of try to piecemeal this together, which never works out for the best. So yeah, the renovation division or renovation piece was kind of what sets us apart. Build, you know, there's a lot of builders in Rochester. I think the number is like 128 builders, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know that.
It's a ton. I don't know if that's the number right on the head, but it's definitely more than 100. So having the building aspect of it too, of being, we can build anyone a home. We have model homes to work from. You know, I can jump into that piece too. It's like we have an in-house architectural designer, so we can design anything from scratch. You can take concepts off the internet. You know, we can literally design however crazy, creative, or plain Jane house you want. So the build part was very essential and what sets us apart. And then communities. You know, we're tied to a land developer too, so we always have projects. You know, we're not talking, what are we going to build on tomorrow? What are we going to build on next year? You know, we're thinking 5 years, 10 years down the road of where are we buying land, developing, and be building houses. So
is there things that you would say that you do more of, you know, than other things? Like, do you help a lot of people with, you know, new builds typically? Is there a lot of like the remodels? Because, you know, those are benefits that you guys have. Mm-hmm. But is that the kind of like a typical client, or is it still just all over the board?
It's kind of all over the board. I mean, we do a lot of builds, a lot of pre-solds, a lot of model homes. The renovation division, we've really started kind of going after that the past 6 months, I'd say, maybe 8 months. And we haven't really been marketing it. Mm-hmm. And that's more or less just people calling and being like, hey, I want, you know, this remodel or that remodeled. I'm still waiting for the one person that's like, my budget's 300 grand and we're going to go look at a $200,000 house. Yeah. We're going to buy it and do all the renovations, just because that's like HGTV type stuff.
Right.
I think it'd be cool to kind of, document that.
Well, I mean, those shows are, I mean, they're blowing up all over the place.
Yeah. There's
so many home remodeling shows. It's crazy.
It's cool. I mean, home remodeling is always very interesting too, though. It's like, you know, a house is built in 1950s. You start pulling back on walls, what are you going to find? Mm. You know, we did one house that it felt like the roof was being held up by a shingle. So it's very, very dicey. But no, we still do a ton of buy sell. We do a ton of building, but it's so agent to agent. Mm-hmm. You know, you get some people that I only want to.
I suppose too. Yeah. Like, just like you said, like the agents, a lot of people work with specific agents, you know, and that agent might do more of these and this agent might do more of these typically.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, Rochester's not a huge marketplace where, like, say, you know, you've got a ton of luxury properties. So this one person is only going to do those. I mean, everyone does a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's important, though, is if you're going to work with a realtor on building, is they understand the process from start to finish. Every builder is going to be different. You know, for instance, we'll buy the lot. If we don't own the lot already, we'll go buy the lot for you. Mm-hmm. We carry the construction loan, so we're handling all the financing through the build. It's just like buying a house at the end when the house is finished. Some people don't understand that. So it's like, I'm going to work with my agent. We buy this lot. Now this person's making payments on it. Well, they don't understand if that lot's going to work for their all-in budget. Well, now you own this piece of dirt that you can't build your house on.
Yeah.
You know, I had a guy call me that had this, this is true. I had a guy call me that had this beautiful lot on this lake. And he's like, I'm like, what'd you pay for it? He's like, $200K. I'm like, what's your budget? He's like, $450. And, you know, the
total or on top of that?
Total.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, like, the rule of thumb we always use is like, your lot price should be 1/5 or 1/6 of your kind of all in budget.
Did you tell him, do you want a nice little cabin?
No, I mean, honestly, like, the hard part about that is, like, imagine how thrilled that guy was of being, like...
Right, I mean, property's probably sick, yeah.
Yeah, like, I just bought this beautiful lot on this lake, like, I'm a fisherman, and now I can't put a house on it. Like, he's going to have to just either sit on it and make payments on that, or he's going to sell it, and then who knows what, so...
Yeah, I could see how building you'd want someone that has done it a lot, know the ins and outs, has an easy process and can just handle a lot of that, especially if it's your first build. I mean, there's got to be so much that you'd have no idea about. And like, I want to build a house. I'm just trying to figure out, am I building my first or am I building my second?
It's, I'd say build it first. I love, you know, obviously the new construction piece. You know, I just built a house and going through that process for the second time was fun. You know, you figure after your first time, you're like, oh, I know everything about this. Like, it's gonna be easy. But there's a lot of selections to be made. And it's interesting. It's like, you know, are these countertops gonna match these floors? And if I do it in this other room, how is that gonna work? Buildings, it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. But then when you get to the end, it's just like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it, so.
Price-wise, I mean, how's it look like, you know, buying compared to building right now?
You know, it's...
I feel like houses are... I mean, they're still high.
That's the hard part.
Stay high, but I'm just saying, like, they've just been high.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an economist, but it's... Brian Buffini, who's a realtor, business coach, real estate coach, you know, he does this Outlook every year on his podcast, excuse me. And he was saying that he thinks 2022 is going to be the same thing as 2021. So it's going to be a lot more competition for buyers. You're going to see a lot more bidding wars. So, you know, that's going to tell you that the existing real estate world, you know, those housing prices should continue to climb, at least for this year. You know, he was saying in 2023, it should return more back to like a normal market of like, if you wanted to go buy a house, you could go buy a house and not have to have 10 other people wanting that house and getting a bidding war.
Right.
But as far as comparing like existing to new, that's tough to kind of show, like talk about what that comparison looks like. You know,
I suppose it's about how crazy you want your house. You know,
how crazy you want your house. I mean, anytime you talk about, you know, I had a realtor ask me once and she's out of the cities and she's like, how much for this house? And she shows me this blueprint. I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah. She's like, how much for this house? And it's like, well, those cabinets go to the ceiling. Do they stop short? What kind of flooring? Is it vinyl siding? Is it hardywood siding? You know, it's everything. So it's tough to put a cost on it. But and, you know, material costs still continue to climb.
Right.
They're saying lumber is supposed to go up again and sheetrock is supposed to go up 50%. So, you know, buying existing is expensive. Building a house is going to seem more expensive, too. But the key indicator, the key component for all this, though, is still the interest rates.
Yeah.
You know, with the interest rates still being so low, it's a good time to buy. Mm-hmm. And if you're buying in the right neighborhoods or buying in the right communities, it's still always a good time.
All right.
I mean, I think Rochester will continue to grow.
It's growing, yeah.
I mean, your business is thriving. You're in Rochester. I mean, you're seeing other businesses are doing well, so it's kind of a little KPI there is, you know, your business is growing there.
I like this area. Rochester's growing quickly. It's just, I feel like it's nice. There's a lot of business happening here. So I like it. I mean, and we're still expanding into new towns or whatever. Just because, you know, again, I'm ambitious and I want to keep growing too. But I do like the area, and I could see Rochester being still like a central hub for a long time.
Well, you guys are going to other states now too.
Yeah. We're selling. I mean, we're doing videos all over, you know, every state around Minnesota here. And we're doing some even, you know, further than that. And I try to keep travel costs low so we can, as long as we're not losing money traveling, you know, it doesn't hurt to travel and go do a video in Texas or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, it's fun for us to be able to travel and see new things and do new companies. And, I like this area for sure. So we'll definitely have Rochester be a hub for a good amount of time. There's a lot of people that there's a need for good video. Oh,
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
More people need to get their story out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so much of what we've done is just try to help educate companies on why it's important. Because, like, they would go, oh, yeah, like, you know, video seems like it's growing. Great. Well, why? How do I use it? What am I going to put in it?
People live on these.
You live on your phone. You know, we're living online. Just everything. But if it seems like, oh, it's going to be too much of a hassle or whatever, so part of it is like education. Part of it's just like, hey, we have a easy process. You're going to enjoy working with us. You're going to love the end product. You know, things like that. We just try to make it as easy as we can for people. So it like, there isn't all these, you know, things we have to overcome to get a deal done. Right. Because we know that they need it. And we have so many people that are like, just solid, you know, we have people like, some of our testimonial videos, like of our clients, are just awesome. And I try not to go to those because I'm like, I don't want to pressure you. You just tell your story, tell your experience with us. And they've just been fantastic. And that's fun for us to see. And I'm sure for you guys, like, you get people coming back and buying another home or, you know, wanting to sell and just writing reviews or whatever. And, like, there's, like, nothing better when you get to enjoy what you do, help other people, and then they have such like fantastic experience. They tell you that feeling is just awesome.
Oh, 100%. But then it's also you getting into, business by referral.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, I've either, you know, told you to reach out to them or reached out to you. You know, it goes hand in hand. I had a great experience. So I told someone about my great experience. And they want to experience that great experience.
Yeah.
So
see what it's all about.
Yeah. Same thing with real estate though. Is it's, you know, if you treat your clients well and you do a good job by them, and like, I really, really like working with my friends, representing my friends, and then having, them refer, you know, one of their friends to me. Not just because it's like, hey, cool, like that's how I pay for my life is selling houses, but it's like, hey, you know, if you were referred to me by XYZ person, like I know that person's a really good person. I like that person. Like we're friends. I'm probably going to get along with you. Mm-hmm. So now I got a new friend.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm kind of one of those weird people. I did one of those personality tests and I'm a wooer, win others over. But I enjoy people. Like, right. You know, some people say that it's complete bullshit. You know, they're just setting up for something else, but it's like, you know, I could do this job for free if it was just literally talking to people and making connections all the time. Like, I love that.
Right.
You can tell my mom's son right from there. You know, she will talk an ear off you. She loves that. So,
and you can see it. Like, when you can tell when someone's being genuine or if they're just trying to bullshit you, you know. And that's I think that's like a huge part, especially in any kind of like sales, relationship, communication. Like, when you're with people, if you're not sold on your product or like whatever it is, like it's going to come out when you're talking to them. And that's why, I mean, I love what we do. I love the industry. I love our guys. I love all of our clients. And like, no one could say otherwise. It's like, right. This is awesome.
Well, I think the coolest part about like what you guys get to do is like, you know, you get to hear a business's story of like, you know, why did we get into whatever this industry is? But then like the owners, like why did that person get into it? Mm-hmm. Like what excites them? What wakes them up every day to like still say like, this is the, like, right. You know, I, it's not a job to me. Like I love doing this. So like getting to hear business owners' perspective would be awesome.
Yep. Yeah, the sheer, I've learned so much of just business ownership, entrepreneurship, industries in general. You know, I've learned, yeah, just crazy amounts because I have to like fully immerse myself like in their company, what they do, who they're trying to reach, whatever. We get to see their process, their operations. So it's just, it's fun in that sense to just dive into like other people's lives almost. Like, you know, we get to just hop into a new company and be like, hey, we're like, let's be a part of this so we can really show, you know, who you guys are kind of thing.
That's, I mean, that's honestly, you know, I'm not saying this to be a cheerleader, but it's like, you know, I watch your videos. I'm like, that'd be cool to be there to experience that. Like, and you're not just, you know, watching a video and, you know, I think a reason a lot of people like video are like, why I like videos, it draws emotion out of you.
Right.
You know, like, this was shot so well and you showed these things and, it just made you feel a certain way. I mean, that sounds a little bit, butterflies and rainbows, but you know, it's real.
Yeah.
You know,
what, being in the just real estate and in business, I mean, I'm sure there's things that you don't love and things that you do love, you know, in your industry, you know, what are those kinds of things, you know, look like for real estate specific? Because a lot of people listening and stuff like that are interested in business. They're interested in like investing. Real estate's part of that, hugely, you know.
So let's chop that one up.
Yeah.
Let's unpackage that. Like what are the things that we like about real estate? Like as far as like the career part, like what do I enjoy about, being a broker or owning a brokerage? You know, it's, you know, there is a lot of fun as far as like helping a first time home buyer, like, you know, certain people, it's like, I saved up all this money to buy a house and like handing the keys on closing day. You hear a lot of agents say that. And like, sometimes it sounds a little Hallmarkish, but it's real. I mean, you get certain people that are like, honestly, so, grateful for your efforts. I mean, if you write, you know, 10 offers on 10 different properties and they lose out, and that one time you get a call and say like, hey, you got this property. Like I've had people cry.
Oh, I bet.
And it's, you know, like sometimes I'm a little bit, too, Tasmanian devil where I don't, you know, take a second to just kind of like, you know, like actually feel and hear what someone just said. Mm-hmm. But like when someone cries and they're like, you know, this is awesome, I just got a house. Like that's a really, really, cool feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, selling property is obviously a blast too when, you help someone, you know, sell a house for way over asking price and, you know, say they didn't think the house was valued at what, you thought it was valued at, like you thought it was higher than what they did. Mm-hmm. You know, showing people that their investment paid off and they're making a ton of more money is huge. The building's just a blast too, because it's, you know, that's the creative side.
Right.
You're starting from scratch. Like this was an idea. Then, you know, Jason designed it on CAD and it's a blueprint now. And then we got the dig day where it's like, oh, cool. Now you go out there and you see this huge footprint of like where the house is going to be. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's stick framed and you can go walk through it. And you're just like, this is awesome. All the way to the end of like walking through this house that, you know, a few months ago was just an idea. Like that's cool to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The physical product and just what we can do these days with the homes and everything. Yeah. That's sweet. I mean, I'm pumped to build, you know, whenever that is, just like the cool, unique things that I would want in my house that I've seen or, you know, whatever. And just to have that built one day, walk in, like that's going to be sweet.
It's fun.
Yeah.
You know, the house we just built, we joked around about doing this for years, is doing a human car wash hour. Did I tell you about this?
No.
Yeah. So, you know, count on me to try it. It's just like essentially this oversized shower. It's like 14 feet long. It's got two entries and it's got shower heads everywhere. It's like you could basically just kind of walk through it. Mm-hmm. Stupid idea, but it turned out it was really, really cool and I love it.
Yep.
But that's why you build, you know, try crazy stuff. Like we did a hidden pantry, you know, it looks like a regular kitchen. You walk through these pantry doors and there's a pantry in the back and it's got a sink and all this. Like it's just cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And
is there like a secret man cave or anything like that?
No, ran out of the budget for that. Yeah. No, the basement's got a wet bar, but, no hidden like bad cave bar. One of my friends is, he's saving up to do a remodel. He wants to do a Prohibition style bar that's hidden behind a bookcase.
Sick. Yeah.
So, yeah, like once again, it's like you hear cool ideas like that. It's like, we can do it.
Yep.
Like, let's sit down and
let me know when you're ready. Let's do this. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as like stuff you don't like about real estate, like, from the work side point is, there's nothing that you really don't like. I mean, it's like, the only time people are like, oh, I hate real estate is, you know, if there's the other person on the other side of the transactions, maybe not as responsive as you like, but that could just be, they don't communicate the same way you do. Or it's just, you know, market conditions, having to tell that person that they lost out on their house like right. that hurts. You get frustrated and, you know, you worry as a realtor as, you know, do they think I'm not, you know, good at my job or whatever else? So, you know, there's no such thing as a bulletproof offer. Hey, if we write this, they're going to accept it. It's not, you don't know what the seller's thinking. You know, I had somebody go with my offer solely because the seller knew who my buyer's parents were from years ago. And my buyers didn't know who the sellers were.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Huh. I mean, we do less real estate now because just early on we did a lot of, you know, homes and things like that. So we know it a bit. And I feel like it's also one of those industries where you can have like really high highs, but then if, you know, shit's just not working out, like it can suck, you know. And obviously there's, you know, again, market conditions and just things like that. But, you know, we know a lot of people in it. And like, I know, you know, they can be freaking pumped, things are going good. And then they can be like, I hate my life right now.
It can be such a roller coaster, but it's like,
I feel like that's sales kind of in general. And just
sales. And there's so many licensed agents in Rochester. So it's like, you know, obviously you get to meet a lot of real estate agents because like what you just said, you know, you work with them. But, you know, how many of my friends got into real estate and then it's like, you know, 6 degrees of separation or whatever. It's like, all right, you know, our clique, people I went to high school with, you know, they could ask, they could work with me, they could work with this person, this person, this person, this person. So it's like, there's not ever a guarantee that you're going to, you know, consistently have clients to represent. Mm-hmm. You know, you do your best, to make sure you always have listings and buyers and et cetera, but there's no guarantee to it. But that's being self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people assume. I think this is kind of like, you know, the ongoing joke in real estate. It's like, hey, I get my license now. I'm going to be, you know, cashing checks and snapping necks. Like I'm going to drive a BMW and I'm going to, you know, make $250,000 a year just because I got my license. Like that's not how it works.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's like 80% of realtors fail after the first year or 2 years. And, you know, it's sticking with it. It's, you know, activity creates productivity, you know, doing open houses, marketing, doing videos, you know, getting outside of your comfort zone, mm-hmm. you know, doing a podcast.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But.
Is this out of your comfort zone?
No, I. It's you and I sitting in a dark room. This right. last. No, I have no issues talking, obviously.
Yeah.
But
I love these. These are so much fun.
See, I've been on other podcasts, and we won't go into that. Yeah. No, podcasts are really fun, and obviously, like, you know, you did your homework, and you've got kind of a great little structure to how you're running this.
They can get awkward if there's no structure.
Super awkward. And I honestly think like the host has to be so good at like guiding conversation. So kudos to you. You are wonderful to talk
thank
to.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, sweet. Let's segue into, I always like to touch on like motivation. You know, being an entrepreneur, self-employed, starting a company, you know, whatever it is, it's like you have to have like a lot of self-motivation, because just like what we said, there's a lot of bad times, you know, with the good times. What keeps you just going and excited? Because like you're a person that I've never really seen like down or, you know, pouting or, you know, whatever. And it's just like, what gets you going?
Man, you haven't seen me this last month. highball energy drinks and my ADHD medication. My dad always had the phrase, never had a bad day. Mm. And I think that, you know, so much of life is perspective. I think you have that choice. Absolutely. That choice in the morning of like, are you going to have a bad day or have a good day? You know, if you start off in the negative mindset, it never leaves you. And, you know, you have a bad day, that turns into a bad week, then it's a bad month. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, I feed off of energy. I wake up in the morning, I'm high energy from ding to dong. So luckily for me, like I got a bunch of my friends that work with us. So getting to be around those people all the day and like interact with them, and you make them laugh, they make you laugh. But as far as like continue to push the envelope or, you know, whatever we are doing, want to do something different or try new things. You know, I love being creative. Like I'm not good at drawing or anything like that. I can hardly write my name, but I like the idea of like, let's try something different.
Right.
You know, whether it's a marketing idea, whether it's a business idea, whether it's, you know, designing houses with Jason, it's like, let's try this. Let's try the human car wash hour. Yep. Let's do something different. Like the same old monotony of life is boring to me. You know, I say a lot of goofy things just to try to get people to smile, and I've tried to do it a couple times right now. But I think you just got to have fun in life.
Yeah.
And I think that's a motivator for me is, you know, if I'm having a good time, everyone around me is having a good time, and that reciprocates, we're back to having a good time.
You're going to enjoy it a lot more, yeah.
Heck yeah. Yeah. You enjoy your job. You enjoy conversations. You enjoy everything in life. I've got an appetite for being happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my motivation.
Appetite, yeah, for being happy. I like that. Moving on to there, just like with, you know, you got two different companies that you're kind of a part of. What's the future look like for North House first, and then we'll kind of get into R. Fleming?
Yeah, so for North House, it's, you know, add some more agents, but we want to do it correctly. You know, I think a lot of brokerages, it's just a body count. Keep adding people in and you know, 2 out of 10 will turn into a decent agent. You know, to me, it's like, you know, you bring somebody in, you're responsible for that person. Like if they starve, that's on you. So I think, you know, bringing a couple other people in, you know, I hate the word training because so many people just talk about training. Mm-hmm. But, you know, providing opportunities for people to be successful real estate agents and be like successfully self-employed, I think is the better word there. You know, if you're successfully self-employed, you're, you know, the income's there, you're making money, but like, you know, you can have a work-life balance. I think bringing some agents in this year that, want to work, you know, it is a grind, you know, want to get behind, buy, sell the build aspect, you know, if they want to do the remodeling, you know, that's what we're kind of looking at for North House this year. We want to start looking at different marketing ideas, doing more video. You know, how do we put more personality to the brand? That's going to be big this year for North House.
I feel like you've always had a good team.
Yeah, there's
like, yeah, there's, you know, I meet new people going in, but like everyone that I've met, I've just enjoyed, you know.
That's key. I mean, you hire a bad egg and it's like, I, you know, as an owner, shit, I don't want to go to work if I got to go deal with that person.
Right.
So I think it's, you know, liking the people that you bring on board to work at North House, you know, you want to be around them and you want to see them successful. You know, it's like another thing is it's not work and it's not hard to give someone your time to benefit them if you like them and they put in the effort. So it's interesting. And, you know, one of my friends got into real estate 6 months ago and he lived with me for 6 months and it was cool. But I think, my wife probably was a little annoyed of it. 'Cause it's like, you know, we go to work in the morning and we're still talking about work at night, and he's asking me questions, and we're like, that dude got the best training ever. Him and I always joke around about it, because it's like, it wasn't like he was going to the office for 3-4 hours of the day and, you know, doing putsy stuff of like clicking through the MLS or doing a net sheet. Like, you know, I'm taking him to job sites. I'm taking him to listing appointments. I'm taking him, you know, to go look at houses with buyers. Like, that was really, really fun. I forgot how we even got to this and what the question was. Like, once again, ADHD hamster wheel.
That's how podcasts go, though. I mean, you start talking about something that you just kind of just keep traveling down a different road.
What was the goal for Northhouse?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's, continuing to grow the brand, add some more agents, have some more fun with the company.
Do you have kind of like, do you picture like a, just like a certain scenario that you want it to get to or like end up as, or you see yourself doing, and this could be, you know, any amount of years down the future.
I should get better at like what a 5-year plan is and a 10-year plan. And like, you know, everyone, you know, every brokerage has like a spreadsheet of, or, you know, a way to look at their numbers of being like, all right, here's where we really start raking in the cash or whatever else. You know, I wouldn't say like in 5 years, I want to have, you know, 3 offices or anything like that. Like, you know, right now it is. So, we're focused on making sure that the people are there, are making the amount of money that they want to make. Continue to grow those people. Once again, I don't think the answer of just being like, in 2 years, I want to have 20 agents. I think initially I said that to you. I was like, I want to have 15 agents by this time next year. But it's like, when you're involved with it, bless you. Yeah. Wait, that wasn't a sneeze. excuse you. No, it's not necessarily about like how many agents you want to have right now. I think it's just, it's slow growth and making sure you're doing it the right way.
You know, there's something about just enjoying the process. You know, you hear that. But you don't always think that. And like, I think a lot of young kids see this image of business and they go, you know, I just want to get rich and not do anything kind of thing. And it's like, it's just, I mean, first of all, it's not realistic, but there's this false idea out there. And I feel like the people that are successful and stay, you know, successful are like, they've learned to enjoy what they're doing, you know, because, you know, I feel like if my goal was just to, as fast as I can, build a team and get out, like MediaCorp wouldn't be what it is today, you know.
1,000%.
Yeah.
You know, you are growing, but it's like you're doing it the right way. You know, you're adding a body here, a body there, when, you know, when you're ready for it. And I'm kind of putting those words in your mouth. You might think differently.
But it's just, I love, yeah. I mean, I get up and I'm more excited on Mondays than I am on Friday. And like that should be a testament, because there's too many people that, I don't know, it's just a job. It's just a paycheck. It's just whatever. And you got to find something that you can enjoy. And like, I just, yeah, I love our team. Guys are motivated, and like, you gotta kind of create, I don't know, that life almost like while you're building it. And because I'm the same way. I'm not like, in 5 years, this is how it's gonna look. Right. It's just like, let's do the best we can and continue, you know, being better in our craft.
Yeah, sharpening the tools. Yeah, I mean, segueing off of that, it's just like, 100%. Like, I just want to continue to, you know, help people buy, sell houses, help people build houses, you know, create more, cool designs with Jason. You know, like, those are the things that get your rocks off,
you know, Michael, and golf more.
Oh yeah. I love golf.
I was going to intro you to professional
golfer. Yeah. No, people don't like that. but no, I mean, it's, I think it can continue to grow Northhouse over the next, you know, my lifetime, right. You know, grow the brand, you know, have more signs in people's yards, and having to be, you know, a local, real estate company that people know, trust, recognize, like, you know, that's cool and that's important.
That's fun. Yeah. Just to have that recognition.
Everyone still just always calls me North Rock though. So Jeff Brown, we got to have some negotiations here. He was first though.
That's hilarious. I mean, I never thought of North Rock until we started also working with Jeff. And now I'm like, I got to like really think like, okay, which one's North House? Which one's North? Okay, yeah, that's right.
Him and I should switch jackets and just confuse everybody more. Yeah.
Just swap everything.
He's better looking.
We still got to get him on here.
Yeah.
R. Fleming, where's that going?
Yeah, I mean, R. Fleming is... you know, it's kind of a weird transition with my dad, you know, retiring. So Jason Halverson, myself, and Nikki kind of taking the strides there. Nikki Fleming, my sister. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going to, you know, hopefully continue to evolve as far as, you know, building beautiful homes, new designs that people aren't used to seeing in Rochester. I think that's important to us, is like making sure like, A, you're building a beautiful house, B, it's sound. See the people are happy. You know, it's we're not cutting corners and, you know, doing things for cheap and having huge margins and, mm-hmm. you know, speed of doing 50 houses a year. I mean, I think still just slow growth, you know, making sure we do it the right way. I mean, the company's been around for maybe 34 years this year.
Yeah.
And just continue to do it the right way. I think my dad, you know, for his career, he's always, you know, done a remarkable job of, you know, not cutting corners, not pissing people off. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, you know, someone will call, you know, 2 years into owning the home they bought and built and saying like, hey, I'm having an issue with this. And he's like, yeah, I'll take care of it. Hmm. Like, that's cool. You know, you take care of somebody.
Right.
Even if they don't even necessarily know, like, hey, yeah, he footed the bill for that. Like, it was outside of your warranty. Like, people just, you know, it's nice to be nice to people once again. Right. So it's like, you know, continuing that legacy of doing right by people.
I like it. So we are, we've been on for a while. It's probably our longest podcast, I think, honestly.
That's because
it flew by.
Well, you don't got windows in here, so it's probably 9 p.m. outside.
One of the things we do at the very end, just again with listeners being in that whole business entrepreneurial, you know, wherever they are in their careers and things like that. What advice, I guess, would you give somebody that's, you know, trying to get into real estate or maybe own a brokerage one day or just earlier on in their career? You know, what advice would you even like tell yourself that, you know, if you were younger?
You know, I think as far as like from like a real estate agent standpoint or like a broker standpoint, I'll say real estate agent standpoint, you know, getting started in real estate, it's just be a sponge, be around the office, be around the top producing people, ask a ton of questions. There's no such thing as a dumb question. Most people are scared to write their first offer because, you know, it's going to be wrong. I'm going to get sued or whatever else. But it's like, get out there and get hungry, get after it. Do open houses, talk to people. You know, don't be salesy and be like, hey, you're looking to buy yourself a house. But it's like, you know, ask the questions like, you know, like, what do you like about new construction? What do you like about design? Do you like modern houses? Do you like craftsman houses? Like, but be a sponge, you know, don't just mm-hmm. make it all about real estate's not about you as an agent. And I think a lot of people have that backwards. A lot of people think it's, I'm so good at my job, I don't care about anybody else because it's just about my paycheck. Mm. Care about people, man. Like, honestly, like, be a little bit more human. That's what I would tell people. Don't do it for your paycheck. Do it because you genuinely hope this person has a great experience, buys a sound house, enjoys it, because you'll have a long, fruitful career. You know, people can sense that you actually give a shit. And I think that that's something that misses a lot of people in real estate. You know,
I like it.
Enjoy it, and live your brand. Like you were saying earlier, is like, you know, in real estate, it doesn't have to be like I'm a realtor. No, like you are a brand. Mm-hmm. Drew Fleming as a person is a brand. That sounds so egotistical, but like you get what I'm saying. Is it's like
buy my merch here.
but no, it's like don't beat the pavement of you know, making it so transactional. Mm-hmm. You know, have fun with it. Be yourself. That's what I mean by be your brand.
Nope. Be yourself.
Be yourself.
Be you. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, thanks for coming on today. It's been awesome. Learned a lot. Hope the listeners have gotten to just learn nugget here, nugget there. Maybe they're going to make a career change now. Maybe they'll go into wine.
They might get into booze. Yeah. That should come with just like a forewarning of like, you'll have monthly sales calls where you start drinking red wine at 8 a.m. So maybe don't get into the wine industry. I don't know.
That's right. Well, awesome. Any listeners, thanks for tuning in. And we will see you guys on the next one.
Beautiful. Thank you.